there's an airport fucking 15 minutes from my house, not even that if there's no traffic. But the way the runways are lined up, don't get a lot of planes that fly over my house. You know what I'm saying? Because we're so close that you're on approach when you come by where, you know, that this close. Anyways, so every now and then one is probably circling or doing something weird, and we do get a little bit of flight noise, but not too bad, dude. We released this dark and gloomy, also kind of angry episode, or at least I was angry, yesterday, and today we get news of exactly what that analyst was talking about. For those of you that didn't listen to yesterday's episode, please go give it a listen. We dug quite deep into a lot of different numbers and things like that, and effects the virus and closed businesses have on multiple markets, not just entertainment. So go give it a listen. But an analyst who had looked at a bunch of things said he didn't think theaters would be reopened for mass business until mid 2021, and we just learned today. Oh, yesterday. Sorry. Damn it, Kyle. that The Conjuring 3 has been delayed until June 4th, 2021, instead of September 11th of this year, and Christopher Nolan's Tenet is indefinitely delayed. And so we can listen to my co-host's comments in full. I'll say good morning, everyone. Welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Brian.
And Brian, what do you think about that, man?
It's, look, yesterday I said we'd know in about a month whether or not that the analysis was on track correct. I think we know today to some degree. Tenet is a movie that Warner Brothers and Christopher Nolan has pushed as you have to see it in theaters. You know, that's something that he really wants to happen.
Yeah.
And he also wanted, along with Warner Brothers, it appeared, to be that first movie to welcome people back. You know, that true first tentpole big movie to welcome people back, which is why they kept moving it just a little. They'd move it two weeks, each time it got moved. So that it would be first. Well, now the fact that it's an indefinite move means it's probably going to be next year, maybe later, who knows. And the fact that they went ahead and pulled the trigger on The Conjuring, which is a September release, that tells me right there, no movies in August, no movies in September. That's what that tells me. And I think everyone else is going to follow suit, so that leaves us with October, November, December. Do you think things are going to turn around in October, November, December? I don't. And so, do the math. The guy that did the analysis, I think he was right. I think that the studios are going to start slowly. I don't know if it'll all be at once. It'll probably be over several weeks. Just basically saying, yeah, 2020 is not going to happen.
All this doom and gloom, all this depressing talk. I'm not going to go over the numbers or the reasons I believe that keeping all theaters is closed as they are is the right choice. I don't think it is. You didn't think it was. We both agreed there's ways to do social distancing in a theater, and we looked at, you know, the age group of the movie goers and the age groups of people that are really affected by the coronavirus. And so go listen to yesterday's episode for all of that, because we did. We went over demographics and all sorts of stuff. So I'll just say I think you're right. And then the big question is, what does Marvel do? What does Marvel and Disney do? Because unlike Tenet, which is a standalone movie, or even Wonder Woman 84, which is technically, I mean, it's a sequel to its own movie, but you know, if it got delayed for the theatrical release, it's not really going to be any skin off of DC's back, because that's like the only movie they've got in the can, you know. That's the only one that's really ready to go. Suicide Squad, I think, may have finished principal photography. I'm not sure about the Batman.
They're still shooting. I mean,
okay, so they're still shooting. Are they in a foreign country where they can
shoot? You know? I believe there was a story yesterday. Don't quote me on this. It's something along. They're revising their shooting schedule and moving a lot of stuff to controlled environments. So
got it. So yeah, I mean, do you not agree? Is it like, are we do? Because that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Black Widow.
All eyes are on
MCU's
Marvel.
All based on timelines.
Yeah, all eyes are on them now. Now, Warner Brothers has made the move. Next up is Disney. What are they going to do? Because when you look at what's left this year, you're right. Wonder Woman's coming up. I think we're going to start hearing about our October movies. But at some point, if the studios, they're going to want to do it in a way that doesn't ruffle their stocks too much.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't know that it'll all be all at once announcement. I think, you know, because if Disney comes out and just like, yeah, we're pulling everything for 2020, you know, that could affect stocks. So especially, shit, if you have stocks in any theater, AMC or Regal or anything, you know, well, sorry.
Yeah, I hope that wasn't a big part of your portfolio.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. To get to your question, no, the MCU, like I said yesterday, Kevin Feige's pulling his hair out. Because this pushes everything, and this even affects a lot of these shows that are supposed to be on Disney Plus are supposed to sync up. Remember, they're part of the universe. They're supposed to sync up timeline-wise to when these movies were coming out. So, in other words, certain movies have to come out at certain times, otherwise you'll reveal things.
Can't release the show.
Yeah.
And that would hurt Disney in a spot where they are vulnerable because of lack of content on Disney Plus. Let's face it. Yeah, they got a lot of stuff on there, but it's a lot of old stuff. It's the stuff we've already seen. And having stuff we've already seen is good, but it's not great, you know.
Yeah.
Netflix saw that it couldn't rely on just leasing hit TV shows from broadcast and cable networks. They everybody from Apple to CBS, Viacom, have original content on their streaming service. Original content's important for streaming. And I think Disney has a opportunity to play both guinea pig and the hero at the same time. And I don't even know if there are any. I know some local theaters, not like the big chains, but I do know that some smaller theaters are open. They've been showing older movies, classics, and things that they can show. I think Disney should say, hey, we're going to release Black Widow. to whatever theaters order it, and we're going to do premium video on demand and take that hybrid approach we were talking about.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think about that?
I agree. The first film they're going to have to make the decision on and announce literally in the next couple of weeks will be Mulan, because it's coming up the soonest. And I think I don't know what they'll do with it, to be honest. I really don't. But when it comes to Black Widow, I would drop it on Christmas. You know, premium, $20-$25, whatever. Drop it on Christmas, and people, you know, hanging out with family, they'll rent it. They'll spend the money. I think it'll have a huge weekend doing it that way. That's what I would do if I was Disney. It was going to come out rough, you know, what was it? I forget where they moved it, October, November. Something. There you go. So I would just push it. And unless they wanted to do Thanksgiving, that's viable too. But I don't know. Especially if you have no competition. So as far as...
You're supposed to have seen this goddamn movie by now. Yeah. Oh.
So yeah, I'd make it a holiday affair, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. And they have to charge. They can't.
Six November. There you go.
So maybe Thanksgiving. Or
I like your idea. Yeah, Thanksgiving's a smart idea. And you might have more theaters open by then. But you might not see it in certain large cities, which you depend on for those big bucks movies. That hybrid approach is something I think is going to happen eventually. So some of these theaters might not survive until 2021. You might see theaters losing leases on buildings and all sorts of that. AMC and Regal have got to be looking at their leases and like, okay, which movie theaters do we really want to keep open? Or, you know, do we really want to pay money for empty seats in on the hopes that the country gets back to normal? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're going to have to at some point start strategically saying, yeah, this theater's gone, that theater's gone. And like I said, Disney has the chance to play hero to some small theaters, local theaters, privately owned theaters. And he wrote to us the fans by releasing Black Widow in a hybrid fashion, and seeing how much money you can make that way. I think it's a smart idea, and I like your idea. Push it a couple more weeks to Thanksgiving, holidays. People are off. Or with family and friends, maybe, depending on your state's travel restrictions. But regardless, people are off, and I think that's a smart move, man. Yeah. Anything else you got about
if
Tenet's Infinite Delay?
It kills me. I want to see that movie so bad. You know, I keep hearing
really, really good.
My biggest warning to them is, there's a lot of buzz on, oh, well, maybe they'll release it overseas first, you know, for theaters, because some overseas theaters are reopening. Maybe they'll put it overseas. I'm just going to say this as nicely as I can. As soon as there's a way for me to see this movie, I'm going to see it. Read between the lines. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person.
No.
Who has those feelings. People, as soon as it's possible to see it, they're going to see it. So your best bet, Warner Brothers, is if you really, really want to release it theatrically overseas, fine, do so. But you better also have a option for those who are not overseas. Well, you know, if you're going to charge me $20 or whatever to rent it, I would happily be a paying customer.
And it could go. I don't think people realize how easy it would be to code a paywall on their streaming service. HBO Max for the video on demand, to where you have to just like a PlayStation network code to get a game. You do the same thing with your streaming service. Have everybody update over the next, you know, fucking code that shit in. Have everybody up do an update over the next month or so. And then at your leisure, you activate it, and boom, now you have premium video on demand on your streaming service. And again, you offer membership deals. I think the six-month membership deal is a sweet spot. Subscribe for a minimum of 6 months, and you get Black Widow for free. And those of you that for three days or so, and then everybody else that's already got it, you pay $25 or whatever to watch Black Widow. You got 3 days of it. I think that's a brilliant plan and would put some stockholders' hearts at ease. Agree, disagree?
Yeah. No, I like I said, there's ways to make money in all this, and mm-hmm. and to beef up your subscribers. Don't be stupid and just release things overseas. You're going to hurt yourself in the long run.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact. And you know, they can listen or not, whatever. But I look forward to seeing Tenet. One way or another.
Well, I want to kind of stick with Marvel for a little bit, simply because I love the idea of this, of what we're about to talk about, way more than the idea of a secret invasion, which they could still do at the same time. But anyways, it's no secret that the Russos are big fans of Secret Wars. They talked about it during production on Infinity War and Endgame. They talked about it a lot. They recently spoke with Bro Bible, and Joe Russo had this to say. I'm going to try to get this out. The important parts. So this, most of this is coming from a direct quote. I read that when I was 10 or 11, and it was the scale of getting all of the heroes together. I like the complicated relationships between heroes and villains. We like villains who believe they're heroes in their own stories, so it's all sort of built into this notion of Secret Wars. To execute something the scale of Infinity War was directly related to the dream of Secret Wars, which is even larger in scale. Anthony added, it would be the biggest movie you could possibly imagine, so that's what really excites us about the story. The ambition of it is bigger than the ambition of the Infinity Saga. Brian, reaction to Joe and Anthony's words here.
Yes. Secret Wars is the original crossover event. It was, I think, 6 months or a year before Crisis on Infinite Earths at DC. Mm-hmm. It is the beginning. It is the first time that something like that was ever done, where you say, you know what, everything we write, we're going to combine them all into mm-hmm. a storyline. And so, yes, you know, and so to do something like that, I also want to highlight, it would require X-Men, and especially one of the main characters of Secret Wars, Doctor Doom, and the Beyonder, of course. And Galactus.
Yeah. And.
Yeah, everyone, yeah.
Going on and on.
But Doom is a major, major part of the storyline.
Yeah, yes. So. Absolutely. And Magneto was too, right? Yeah, because he ended up on the, for spoiler alert if you've never read it, but he was one of the villains that ended up on the hero side, right?
I think so, because I know Xavier, I'm trying to remember all the... Yeah, it's been a long time since I read the original. I was young, but...
Let me see. Sorry, guys. Ow! Just bumped my sliding thing for the keyboard into... Anyways,
Then the Beyonder could be... You could cast anybody. You could cast multiple people if you wanted. Because the Beyonder is not a person, exactly, and has an original form, and has the form that he takes that we see. So there's an example of a character where you could make it. Literally, you could cast multiple people to play him if you really wanted to.
Magneto was on the he was on the Heroes team.
Yeah.
But he of course was not happy with it.
Yeah.
I like this because it means the Russos are and they know they always said that this would be the story they'd come back for, and you tell me the Russos are doing a Marvel movie and I'm for it. What about you?
Absolutely, yes.
I think this would be a serious two-parter, Secret Wars Part 1, Secret Wars Part 2, where they aren't two completely different movies. Yes, you could say Endgame is Infinity War Part 2, but when you look at it, it is a completely different movie than Infinity War. I think Feige was right. Infinity War is Thanos' movie. And it has a complete story. The heroes lost for 5 years. They deal with losing. You know, we find that out in Endgame, and Endgame is the Avengers story of redemption and coming back. And they're filmed differently.
Their sacrifice.
The tones are different. Yeah. But I think Secret Wars itself would have to be a two-parter. What do you think?
Yes, it absolutely would, because just to give characters enough time on screen, even and obviously they wouldn't follow it exactly. You know, they would change things, which is fine. They did it with Infinity War, but with the Infinity Saga. But I think I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to say this until this happens. Doctor Doom is key. Therefore, I've not made this argument before, but I'm going to make it now. As far as casting decisions on the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, any of those characters, yes, I care who they pick, but I think more so than anything, Doom is the one that they need to be the most careful with. You've got to pick the person, because if you do it right, that could be a character equal to the Tony. Well, I'm going to go with the Tony Stark, but a villain.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah.
Think of him as the opera. And you say it all the time. He is the greatest Iron Man villain.
Oh, yeah.
And think of him as
loved Tony and Doom better than fucking Reed and Doom. Mm.
Think of him as the anti Tony, but it's very important that you get him right if they're even thinking of doing storylines like that, because he's such a major part of it.
I like that idea. Keeping him around for a long, long time. Like, even after he's defeated, he goes into hiding and stuff, you know?
He should be in multiple movies and part of the whole MCU franchise.
Yeah, the fabric of it, like Tony Stark was. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's a perfectly executed analysis and idea. And Marvel, listen, Feige, I know you're pulling out what little hair you have left. Sorry, I had to make a ball joke. But Doom uses science and magic. Mm-hmm. Do you understand me? Doom uses science and magic. Brian, correct? Like, yes. That has to happen, right?
Yes. The last two attempts at Doom, I don't even want to talk about them. But, yes, it's not just a costume. Doom is not just his costume.
Mm-hmm.
Doom is way more layered. And if you go look at like Hickman's run, I mean, what he did with Doom was just fantastic. I would use that as a jumping off point.
No pun intended.
but yes, you. Damn it. Yeah.
Sorry. Go.
No. That no. But I would. There's plenty of great stories about Dr. Doom that could be used as that. As a foundation for how the character is approached. So hopefully they do that.
So Secret Wars. Yeah, I'm dead down for it. I would like to see everything. That's a movie that doesn't. I mean, other than all the heroes and villains having their individual films, so we get first introduced, Secret Wars doesn't really require some build-up, so they can still do an event movie of that has build-up, like Secret Invasion, which I fucking hated. Good idea, shittily executed. But Secret Wars, you just bam, it's happening. The heroes are all taken, and like the last couple of movies leading up to it, you could literally show the hero from that movie, you know, disappearing, or hearing a voice. Like, do you hear that? Like they hear a voice that nobody else can hear, and then boom, they're transported. Like, I could see Ant-Man doing that. Paul Rudd, anybody hear that? Is it just me? And then he disappears. It'd be funny, but
you're right. The only setup would be to, you know, establish the characters that haven't been established yet. That's it. You're right. The event itself, the way it plays out, you just grab everyone and make them fight. That's what happens.
So I'm down. Yes, like Brian said, yes. Let's go. Secret Wars, Russo brothers. Sometime down the line. Let's fucking do it. It's been a while since we really talked three stories, but I do want to get this in because it piqued my interest, and it's a DC movie, that I fucking hated. But for me to say legitimately, I'm interested in seeing this means something. Yesterday, I believe it was, maybe 2 days ago, over the weekend on Twitter, a page from an alleged page from one of the scripts of the original Suicide Squad was released, and it shows Joker was going to be a part of the final battle with Enchantress, and some different things were going to happen with Harley than what we saw on screen. It's got a funny little moment with Deadshot, where I mean I can hear Will Smith's voice. He's real, dude. Real okay, Joker. You know, I never had no beef with you, and like I can hear Smith saying this, but you read over the page, Brian. Does that make you want to see the ire air cut?
I don't really care deep down, but but I think it is interesting when you have a director who's basically saying what you saw was not their vision, and we've known forever now. It's always been a question of how much content, but we always knew that there was a lot more Joker stuff that was cut out, and I was curious to why. When those initial stories started coming out, because, you know, Joker, you know, you can, the amount of merchandise they sold off that movie was all Joker Harley Quinn. So why would you cut him down? But what, you know, whatever. So does it pique my interest? I don't, as far as I understand, a lot of that shit was finished and they just cut it out. Therefore it wouldn't take a lot to reassemble it. It may already be reassembled. It may be a finished cut. And if that's the case, we'll just put the shit on HBO Max. I just don't understand why you wouldn't at this
Even
point.
Even James Gunn, who's shooting the soft reboot, the Suicide Squad, said he would have no problem with Ayers. Is it Ayer or Ayer? Do you know? Anyways, whatever. I don't give a fuck. He's DC. No, I'm joking. he said he would be fine with Ayers' cut. Look, I think what do they call this generation? Zoomers? Isn't that the joke? Generation Z. Yeah. I think a lot of the youngest millennials and Generation Z haven't. They didn't grow up in the age of director's cuts. That's not a new thing, ladies and gentlemen. Brian's favorite movies had one of your favorite movies has had multiple cuts, and I can't tell you how many DVDs I've bought that have two discs or two versions of the film, a theatrical cut and the director's cut. Like, these aren't new things. Studios used to release director's cuts all the time. I mean, hell, one of the most famous ones is the Donner cut of Superman 2,
which I own.
Yeah.
Yes.
And which makes it a completely different fucking movie.
Very much. Yes, it is.
And so this isn't a new idea. Why all of a sudden did studios decide, we're not gonna allow director's cuts anymore?
I have a theory on that.
Is it a demon? A dancing demon? No, something doesn't seem right.
I think here. It's a money thing. This is pure theory. There's just me guessing. I think if you put out a different cut of it, I'm curious to how the contracts work. Because is it classified as a different film, and do you have to pay people accordingly? Mm-hmm. And this is completely, I don't know. But I'm just wondering, because you're right, it doesn't make sense why you wouldn't put it out. Especially in a situation like Suicide Squad, it would cost them nothing.
Yeah,
so unless,
it's not like Justice League where you had unfinished effects and stuff like that,
which is going
to
cost them
Ayer
a lot.
Says this thing is done. He says it's done. It just needs to be released. You know, you might need a few minutes in the editing room, but that's about it. You know,
yeah.
So it piqued my interest just because I hated that version of the Joker, but the fact that he plays a part of the very end, could it make it a better movie? When because we all know that they had a dramatic shift after when they decided that instead of being super serious and all that, they wanted it to be their Guardians of the Galaxy. And so that's what they tried to do. They added the fun popular music, famous songs that we all know, and cut the movie completely differently, and try to give us Guardians of the Squad, something like that. And so I would be interested, just out of curiosity's sake. It was a shitty fucking movie, people. I'm sorry if you liked it, and I'm pissing in your cereal, but it really was a shitty movie. And if there's a better version of it, I would be willing to give it a second look out of morbid curiosity. You know, like, this movie was so bad the first time, it can't be any worse. That type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, anything else you or any other words on anything we've talked about today?
No.
Cool. Well, thanks for being on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Jammer will eventually be back to the show. Hopefully, starting on Monday. For those of you that didn't know, he made a big move, and they didn't have internet or anything. They're setting up their home and stuff. So Brian is going to be here again most of this week, just like last week. And Jammer will actually be joining us Monday morning. So yeah. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast network. Listen to great shows like this one and Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. And we've got other shows, guys. Lots of content, hundreds and hundreds of hours of content on the channel. Let's see here. Website LRMonline.com, and of course the YouTube channel. We just released like two or three brand new celebrity interviews. So yeah, check all that stuff out. Subscribe, please, ladies and gentlemen. I can't tell you enough how much subscribing means to outlets on their podcasts and YouTube channels. It's like clicks on an article versus reading the headline. It only counts for us if you guys subscribe. So help us help you and give you better and more content. Brian has something he would love for you to subscribe to as well. Brian?
Yes, my YouTube channel, Pulp Mythos, PULPMYTHOS. It's one word. Perry Mason content every Sunday evening. There's only three episodes left. And then we'll be doing Lovecraft Country. And check it out.
There you guys go. Thank you so much, Brian, for being on. You guys can all find me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.